Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The 469th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. And we're also brought to you by the SGPN app. The SGPN app is completely free to download and home to all of your favorite SGPN podcast contests and picks. Just type SGPN into your app store today to download America's number one DGEN app.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 469 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Obviously, 469 has to go out to Billy Madison. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. This is our second half of our UFC 296 preview. We're going to do all the main card pay-per-view portion fights today, and then we will do our locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff at the end of the show. So stick around to the very end. And if you haven't listened to yesterday's epic episode, we broke down all nine prelim fights. So make sure you get that in your ear holes and or your eye holes before the fights roll around on the weekend as well. Let's bring in the co-host, the co-conspirator, the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Do you know, I think you dedicated episode 69 to Billy Madison as well?
It happened. I haven't matured in 400 episodes since then. So
there you go.
It's perfect sense.
Good for you. Good for you. Never
good
change.
For me. Never change. Hashtag never change. Thoughts on the main pay-per-view portion of the card, Gumby?
I mean, a good one. A lot of prospect dumb about to cash over, I think. And, you know, one title fight I was really pining for and one title fight I didn't want at all, but is at least very intriguing stylistically.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Very, very true. Should be a fun fight card. Surprised by any lines on it or not?
They're right about where I thought they'd be.
Okay, cool. Let's get cracking, shall we? We'll start with this fight. This episode is going to fly by after doing nine fights last episode. This one's only five, so it's going to be a quick breeze through the main card. Unless we get in an argument about a fight, who knows? Maybe the first one. Who's to say? Welterweights. Vicente Luque versus Ian Machado Gary. The man does cause a lot of arguments, Mr. Machado Gary. Tell you about Luque first. The silent assassin does not cause any controversy. He's a silent assassin after all. He's 22-9-1, 11 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. 15-5 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last three. He did win his last fight, 1-1 the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at middleweight, 2009 pro MMA debut. Inch reach on Gary. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. Plus 0.02 is his strike differential. Plus 290 is the number on the board for him. Ian Machado Gary, the future. People have other nicknames for him currently, but he's still going by the future. 13-0, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's won 6 straight fights. Was the Cage Warriors a champion before this? 4 inches height, 6 years younger than Luque. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by plus 3.09 strikes per minute. So very impressive there. Minus 345. Gonna take Gary. Not a huge fan of the number or any number that high, but I will take him. Luque, even though he did win his last fight, there got to be concerns about the damage he's taken. He had brain issues and he's getting up there in age. Plus, Gary really has not shown any reason not to pick against him at this point. He seems to be improving with every fight, living up to the future nickname. So give me Gary here, but I'm probably going to shy away from a line this big.
I've been a Gary hater for a really long time. and even I'm going to say, first of all, he's getting more hate right now than he deserves.
Oh yeah. None of it's his fault. I'm not really paying attention to it, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, and don't get me wrong. He's like trying out to do the brash post-fight interview thing.
Yeah.
And like, but like, Not to get this much. You know, like no. he's not any cockier than, like, you know, we've seen from Brian Kelleher in post-fight interviews, right? Like,
boom.
Like that's pretty mild in my opinion. So I as far as stylistically, I like Ian Garry in this fight quite a bit. And really all I needed to do to remind myself why I like Ian Garry in this fight is that Vicente Luque had a lot of trouble with RDA in the first round of his last fight. And RDA is not a long welterweight. Right, like no. RDA has fought at lightweight, and in addition to that, the things that bothered Luque in that fight were the length in the kicks of RDA. Like, RDA went up top with head kicks in that first round and did very good. He also backed Luque down to the cage a bunch of times and let go. And I think that is a really alarming sign when you're about to fight Ian Garry, that like the length and pressure and head kicks of a lightweight gave you a lot of trouble. And yes, Luque did then eventually build success and win that fight fairly easily. But like, if he gets hit by Ian Garry, is there going to be a later? That's the big question. And I don't know the answer is yes. So I'm going to go with Ian Garry here.
Yep. Garry is the pick. All right. No disagreeing thus far. Lightweights, Tony Ferguson versus Paddy Pimblett. We better not argue here, but who knows? Gumby is a Ferguson lover. You never know. El Kuke is 25-9.
El Kuke? El Kukui.
I know. I always say it wrong. I know. El Kui is 25-9. 12 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times, 15-7 in the UFC. He's lost 6 straight fights, 3 straight via finish. He's not won since June of 2019. Used to fight at welterweight, 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, and the champion of that season was a regional champion. 2008 was his pro MMA debut. Was a wrestling champion as well in college. 1 inch of height, 3 inches of reach on Pimblett. More active landing strikes than Pimblett is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.72 strikes per minute. He's at plus 250. Paddy the Batty Pimblett, 20-3, 6 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been submitted 1 time, 4-0 in the UFC. 3 of those were finishes. 6 straight wins in 7 of his last 8. He was a Cage Warriors champion, also regional champion. He used to fight at bantamweight, which is hard to believe, and featherweight, which is hard to believe as well. He has missed weight a couple times in the past. 2012 pro MMA debut, 11 years younger than Ferguson. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.71 strikes per minute, minus 300. Gumby?
I hate this, but I'm going to take Paddy Pimblett.
Pick against your boy. Do it.
I really don't like doing this. I don't know that there's ever been a fight that we've picked on this show that I've wished I was wrong on more than this one right here.
Especially who he's fighting too.
Yeah. I love Tony Ferguson. And you know what? I spent a lot of time doing some mental gymnastics that tried to get me to pick Tony Ferguson in this fight. But the bottom line is what's the worst thing about Tony Ferguson at the moment?
He can't take a hit anymore.
He can't take a hit. That's 100% it. His chin's not there anymore. I think, you know, probably before the Michael Chandler foot to the face, but like definitely after the Michael Chandler foot to the face, you like have to be concerned about where this dude's chin is. And I don't think Paddy is the prospect the world seems to think he is. I don't even know that he's the draw the world seems to think he is.
Nope.
But like one of the things you have to give him is he does seem to hit pretty hard. And with Tony, like, could Tony do some things that give Paddy trouble early? Sure. But unless you think Tony is going to take him out in the first, like, what is his path? Like, he's going to be tired. I mean, I guess he's training with David Goggins now, who I Googled after
you know after who it Monday's is now. Show. Okay.
Now I know who David Goggins is. So, like, yeah, maybe he goes in and like does a little bit better cardio wise, but like he's still not going to outwork him. If you don't think he's going to sub him in the first, I just don't know how he wins this fight. I think he winds up taking one here and getting knocked out.
Yeah. Yeah. Pimblett is not a prospect. First of all. But yeah, he's better than Tony Ferguson at this point as well. So, USC knows what they're doing, making matchups like this. So, Pimblett, Paddy the Batty is the obvious pick here. Probably via finish. We'll see. We shall see. When we get to the prop time, perhaps. All right, let's go to another squash match on the card. Welterweights, Shavkat Rakhmonov versus Stephen Thompson. We'll tell you about Wonderboy Thompson first. Age before beauty, 17-6-1, 8 knockouts, 1 submission. He has been knocked out one time, so he's very durable. The old man can take a licking. He's won 1 of his last 3, 3 of his last 5, 3 of his last 7. Won his last fight via TKO against Kevin Holland, for what that's worth. 2010 Pro MMA debut, was a kickboxing champion before this, a mythical undefeated 1-0 kickboxing champion. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.16 strikes per minute. He's at plus 475. No respect. No respect. Nomad is Rakhmonov's nickname. 17-0, 8 knockouts, 9 submissions. He owes us rounds. He's won 5-0 in the UFC. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. SportsGamingPodcast.com/store. Inch of height, 2 inches reach on Thompson. 11 years younger than him. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes, and better grappling stats than Wonderboy. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.84 strikes per minute, minus 549. Obviously, Rakhmonov is our pick here. Sorry to see Thompson get done like this, but yeah, he's at this point in their careers, he's better than Thompson at anywhere this fight goes. So Rakhmonov is a killer, and he's fighting an old guy who's going to get a beating, sadly. So Rakhmonov's the pick.
Well, and I think people have kind of said, you know, the thing that's always been great about Stephen Wonderboy Thompson is his flashy striking and his ability to keep range and his ability to just sort of like strike fear into people's eyes and force them to work from range. Shavkat is not afraid. Shavkat is not afraid of whatever he's going to throw at him. Shavkat will close the distance. And if this happens in the clinch, on the ground, in the pocket, whatever it happens in, those are better places for Shavkat. And you know, not for anything. I love Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I've been a huge fan for a long time. He's not a guy who's still knocking people out at this time. You know, that win over Kevin Holland was cumulative. It was not that big concussive blow that he had when he was ripping up the welterweight rankings. He's kind of more of a guy now who has an outfighting style and it tries to stay, you know, sort of pick and prod and move. And I just don't think that that's a real path to victory against Shavkat Rakhmonov. I think Rakhmonov is going to get in his face. He's going to force him to fight dirty. And I don't know that 40-year-old Stephen Wonderboy Thompson can fight a gritty fight anymore. I don't know that that's anything he could have won a long time ago or anything he can win now. So yeah, give me Shavkat.
Does Thompson beat him in his prime, you think?
I mean, like, the Thompson that went in there and had, you know, an absolute war with Tyron Woodley, maybe. Like, that Thompson was really unbelievably good because he knew range. He could get himself out of clinches. He was going to take your head off every time he kicked you. And he's just not those things anymore, right? Like, I don't have faith that he will work out of a clinch with Shavkat Rakhmonov here. If he winds up in one, I think he's going to eat an elbow and possibly get taken down. You know, like ditto for, you know, anytime he does land a kick, I don't think he's going to be landing some like big concussive kick here on Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Nope. Those days are over, sadly. So yeah, Shavkat is the pick here, as well as Underdog Fantasy. That is always our pick. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA, they've got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You got to play for us, Gumby.
Yeah, they've got their UFC 296 stuff up right now. One of the projections that jumped out to me, they got Tagiru Lambakov on there, and they've got him higher or lower than 1.5 takedowns. That's not takedowns conceded. That's him scoring takedowns. So definitely lower than that. I don't think he's going to take down Cody Durden even once. So yeah, give me lower than 1.5 takedowns on Tagiru Lambakov.
Well, his name does end in Ov, so maybe that's what it's based off. You never know. All right, watch along. See if Gumby's right. Make your picks and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. All right. Nothing but title fights here on out. We got a flyweight championship in the co-main event. Alejandra Pantoja versus Brandon Royval, a rematch. I'm going to tell you about Brandon Royval first. Raw dog, 15-6, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He owes us some finishes. He needs to be finished. 5-2 in the UFC. He's won three straight. Before that, he lost two straight. He's won two straight fights via finish. He's not lost since August of 2021. That was to Pantoja, the very same Pantoja who submitted him. Royval was the LFA champion before this. Used to fight at bantamweight, 1-0 World Series of Fighting as well. 2012, pro MMA debut. 4 inches height, 1 inch reach over Pantoja, 2 years younger than him. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.82 strikes per minute. He's at plus 163. The cannibal, Alejandra Pantoja, 26-5, 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, never been finished in a fight. These guys both owe us a finish here. He is 10-3 in the UFC, and he's a newly crowned champion of the world. This is his first title defense. He's won 4 straight fights and 5 of 6. He's not lost since July of 2020. He went 2-1 on the Ultimate Fighter. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2007 was his pro MMA debut, so he's been around for a while. Better striking stats, more active landing strikes than Royval as well. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.6 strikes per minute, minus 190. Go ahead.
I'm going to go upset here. I'm going to go raw dog. I want to attribute a lot of that first fight to the fact that raw dog was coming back from a hellacious injury, and he did so way too quickly. That fight came, I want to say it was 8 months after he fought Brandon Moreno. And in that Brandon Moreno fight, he looked like he was doing well right until he was taken down, landed on his shoulder, clearly came out of joint, winds up with like a weird dislocation TKO. All really upsetting, bounced back too quick, didn't seem to be himself. Because let's face it, one of the things about Brandon Royval is when he's striking, he looks deadly. When somebody tries to grapple him, he's got great scrambles, and he gets back up when he isn't scrambling. You know, like great scrambles. He gets back up if it fails. He's got good submissions. There's so many things he does well on the ground. In that fight, he just didn't, which to me just looks like he's rusty. Since then, I mean, he went out there and absolutely tooled on Matt Schnell. He's looking great right now. I think his striking is even better than it was when he first started. That's always kind of been, even though I love his submission game, that's kind of been his best attribute, is his Factory X, you know, brand striking. I think he's going to hang with Pantoja better on the feet than he did the first time. I think the scrambles keep it on the feet, and I think Royval upsets him here.
I disagree. Pantoja is my pick here. Better fighter all around, has beaten the man before. And when you look at who Royval has beaten to get to this point, it's not very impressive. Matias Nicolau, that one's okay. That's an impressive
Nicolau's
one.
Good
he finished him. Yeah. Match now, Rogerio Bontaram. Yeah, it's all right, but it's not the top of the food chain guys that Pantoja has been facing. So give me the incumbent to get a successful first title defense. Well, this, I have to say, this is impressive that Royval is actually fought his way to a title shot. I didn't see this happening for him. I thought he was just gonna be a fun fighter.
Can I just say, like, you're gonna give all those wins for Royval, and you're not gonna say Kaikara France by submission?
No,
like, I didn't go back that far. He submitted Kaikara France after hurting him on the feet too, I might add.
That does not help my argument, does it? Does it, Gumby? No. So why would I do that? Come on. Anyhow, we are disagreeing on that one. Let's go to the main event. Don't think we'll disagree here, but we shall see. Welterweight, UFC welterweight championship of the world, Leon Edwards versus Colby Covington. Chaos Covington, 17-3, 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 12-3 in the UFC, loss, win over his last 4. He's not fought since March of 2022. That's a big thing for him. He's not lost since November of 2021. 2012 pro MMA debut, grappling world champion, a wrestling champion in college. More active landing strikes than Edwards, better grappling stats than Edwards. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.05 strikes per minute. He's at plus 140. Rocky Edwards, 21-3 with 1 no contest, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 13-2 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's the champion of the world with 1 successful defense on his resume so far. He's won 3 straight and he's got 11-0 with 1 no contest over his last 12. He's not lost since December 2015. Was a regional champion. He's fought at middleweight, 2011 pro MMA debut, 3 inches height, 2 inches reach, 3 years younger than Covington. He's outstruck his opponents by 0.4 strikes per minute, minus 155. once again, incumbent, give me the champion, Edwards here. Covington will be able, probably, we haven't seen him enough of him recently to really know, but I'm assuming he'll still be able to put a pace on someone, but Edwards is more dangerous, more active, and seems to be improving with every fight, while Covington hardly ever fights and probably reach his peak a few years back. So give me Rocky Edwards here.
Yeah, when you're at this age and you've spent this much time away, the biggest thing that goes wrong is like your timing, right? Like it's the thing that takes the most time to come back. If you say ring rust isn't real, that might be true. Like pure ring rust in the way that like most people discuss it. Sure, Dominic Cruz, maybe that's not real. But timing is. It takes people a while to get their timing going again. And Colby Covington is kind of a guy, particularly early in the fight, who needs to make you fear his timing and how much he can hit you, right? He tries to put a pace on people early, get in their face, make them get sick of getting hit. And the thing is, if he tries to get forward in Leon Edwards' face here, Leon's timing is going to look way better. He's going to crack him on the return. It would not surprise me to see Leon Edwards put this dude away in the first, just because, first of all, we've seen Colby stunned by a guy who hits a lot less hard than Leon Edwards, right? Kamaru Usman, I think we can all agree, does not hit like Leon Edwards does. And we've seen Colby Covington cracked by Usman, and we've seen Leon Edwards be the kind of guy who can sort of surprise you on counters. So if Colby Covington comes forward trying to throw his massive volume, trying to get in your face early, I think he's going to have trouble with being countered and being countered brutally right off the bat. Now, obviously, I think the thing that plays into Colby's favor and could go wrong for Leon Edwards here is, unlike Usman, Colby will shoot 850 takedowns if he needs to. But I don't know necessarily that that's a path to victory here against Leon Edwards, because if he gets cracked four or five times on the feet, scoring a takedown where he doesn't throw any punches on the ground isn't going to win him the round. We've seen it with the judges lately. They're not giving guys that round. It will definitely give him a reason to piss and moan and complain that he didn't get a fair shake, but I don't know that it will win him a decision on the cards if he goes that route anyway. So yeah, I'm going to go Leon Edwards here.
All right, there you go. I will recap our picks, but don't go away, because we've got more picks coming for you. All right, both have Edwards, both have, no, sorry, we don't both have this next one. I have Pantoja, he has Roy Ball. We both have Rachmanov, both have Pimblett, and we both have Gary. So you're picking a couple of your favorite fighters here, Gumby.
It was not easy. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong on, actually, I don't mind Ian Gary quite as much as I used to. I think maybe the hate he's getting from people now makes me like him a little more.
Yep, it's true. It's true. He's sympathetic now. All right, tell you about Hall of Fame bets, and then we'll give you our fancy picks. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets, revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users with Hall of Fame bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame bets.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okie dokie, locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. Is it your turn to start, Gumby?
Yeah, I think it's my first time. Okay, no, you went last time because I almost tailed every single damn one of them.
Right, it's true. Yeah, go ahead.
For my lock, I'm going to take Irene Aldana. I think Carol Hossa is in over her head here from a striking department. I don't think she's going to get enough of the grappling going. I think the number on Aldana is actually kind of nice, right? It's like negative 200. I like Irene Aldana here.
Give me Rudy Rude Boy, Randy Brown at minus 250 over the king of Kung Fu, Muslim Salikov. If you want to hear a full breakdown of that, listen to our prelim episode, the last episode we just did before this.
That's nice. I'm going to go for my dog. I'm going to go. Let's take Cody Durden. Cody Durden, I just think he's going to out-wrestle Tagiru Lambakov. I think he's going to do enough of it, and he should win a decision here.
All right, Durden is your pick. Mine is one that you don't agree with. Give me Lucas Almeida over Andre Feely. I explained yesterday why I liked him, a better striker on a fighting guy who's on a bit of a skid. So I think he's worth the gamble at plus 145.
And then for my dog, I'm going to take a guy we both like here. I'm going to take Shamil Gadziev. I'm going to take him by knockout. I think Shamil Gadziev by knockout is plus 250. I like this. I mentioned on yesterday's show, I like the straight punches. I like the way he attacks. Give me him landing one to that big old skull of Martin Boudet.
That big old skull. So Gadziev knockout. And what was the number?
Plus 250.
And you cut out of, you always cut out when I ask you for
plus 250.
And once again, yelling makes the internet connection better. Thank you for yelling. Give me Paddy Pimblett. I got kind of, I chickened out here. I'm taking him inside the distance at plus 115. I was going to take him via knockout, but I could see him see a bag and tag. I could see him knocking down Ferguson and submitting him. So, inside the distance plus 115, but obviously if you feel better about, you can get good numbers for TKO and or knockout and good numbers for submission. They're at plus 350 for knockout and plus 235 for submission. So if you have a bigger set than I do, then you can make those plays instead.
Do you feel dirty right now?
No, I
don't
just
feel gross.
It was that great. I never liked Tony Ferguson to begin with. So I never thought he was that good. So take that.
You're a Tony Ferguson truther.
I am. It's true. No, I guess he was good, but he got used up on his way to a title shot that he never got. So
I just think he was never like, the thing about him is we see a lot of guys getting better as they go to the title. I think he was already his maximum during that run because he was already 33 or, you know, like something like that. Like he was already at the wrong end of his aging curve when he was reaching a title shot.
Wasn't exactly fighting safely either. So yeah, that will happen. All right. Hungry Man Jong, Super Fan Parlay, a 2-fight parlay. Let's end the year with a winner here. This is the last one of 2023, Gumby. Give us a good winner.
Yeah, I'm going Super Dogs here. I'm going to take Ariane Lipsky. I mentioned I liked Ariane Lipsky before. She's a slight underdog in her fight. I want her by decision because nobody's finishing that fight, right? Nope. Plus 250 for her on decision. Nice. And then I'm going to pair that with Cody Durden, my aforementioned, my dog pick. I'm going to take him by decision too. I'm seeing that at plus 215. You're going to pair those together. You're going to get plus 1,002.
All right. Just snuck it by our plus 1,000 or higher. Pick. So Lipsky decision, Durden decision, plus 102. They're your super dogs of the card. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed that episode and you'll enjoy the fights. You can enjoy it with us if we show up in the Discord. Hopefully we'll be there. Normally we're in there. It's sportsgumbypodcast.com/Discord. Twitter, Gumby will be posting stuff about the fights all night long, I'm sure, on our Discord. On our Twitter, SGPN MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there. And on Instagram, I've got a Substack. Enter my pick'em contest for free on there. It's moneymma.substack.com. Get your picks in for UFC 296 and win stuff. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. Tell the folks who's on it this week, Gumby.
Because you don't want to say Oseyuman Oyemolan. So he'll be on. He's fighting at LFA on Friday night. Make sure you check out that one. And then I've also got Dustin Jacoby, who's on the prelims this weekend.
Yes. Excellent. I just saw on our Discord. I thought Ian Gary was pulling out of the fight, but he's not showing up for the media day is what they say. So another reason for people to hate him even more.
Yeah. That's a really great heel move right there.
It is. That's a bold move, isn't it? All right. sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Obviously, you want to go there, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We'll be back on Sunday with a recap, and we'll count all our money, and we'll recap how we did on the year. Gumby's actually going to get to do a victory lap here. We'll do all that on Sunday, but take us home, Gumby.
All right, I'm Daniel Gumby Freeland. He's Jeff Kooky Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.